I want to focus our attention for just a few moments this morning in verse number 29, where John said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now I want to try to preach with just the simple thought, "Behold the Lamb of God." I want you to think about that phrase. There's no telling how many millions of times that phrase has been used to open up a message concerning the reality and the reach and the redemption that is involved in the gospel. But I want to try to preach for just a few moments today with the help of God on "Behold the Lamb of God." In our chapel services, we've been looking at the power to become the sons of God. You find that theme in verse 12 of John chapter 1. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, I don't believe that there could be a greater theme in our behalf from John chapter number 1 than the power to become the sons of God. Amen. The power to be able to be in the family of God. We've concentrated from John 1 on things that are emphasized in this chapter that involve being in the family of God. We talked about the Word of God. We see that in the opening verses of John's Gospel, chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God." You've already heard that in your Sunday school classes. We talked about its power or its presence. It was in the beginning with God. We talked about its power to create, its power to convert, its power to change. We talked about the Word of God and what it provides for us in verse number 4. We preached about the personality of the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then we preached about the problem that we see in the Word of God in reference again to our theme, the power to become the sons of God. And that is, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, the Word of God has been manifest to man from the beginning of time, but men love darkness rather than light. And there's a reason why they love darkness rather than light. It's because the Bible said that their deeds are evil. So we noticed the Word of God. Then we preached about the witness of God. We began to talk about the vessel of John the Baptist and how he had yielded himself, being filled with the Spirit of God, to be the forerunner that would bring and unveil to the nation of Israel Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We took a lamp and we brought it to the chapel service, and we talked about the availability of that vessel. Amen. You got to make yourself available if you're going to be a part of the witness that's needed for men to become sons of God. You got to be usable. Amen. You can't have a lot of things wrong with you. It's hard to drive a vehicle if the tires are all flat. Amen. You can't put oil in a vessel if it's got a crack or a hole in it. You can't light it if there's not a wick in it. And it's not going to project light unless there's some sort of globe on it that would make that light, amen, project out and benefit others. So it's got to be usable. Then we said that vessel has got to be fillable. Amen. You got to be able to fill that vessel. If it's full of trash and dirt and water, it doesn't make any difference how much oil you put in it. It's not going to light and give off any, amen, illumination. Then it's got to be lightable. You got to be yielded. You got to be willing, amen, to be used for the glory of God. That's what John the Baptist was. He was a shining light. He was not that light, he said, but he said that he would bear witness of that light. Then we preach to the young people about the will of God. It's very important to understand something about the will of God when we think of the power to become the sons of God. Let me ask you a question this morning, not to get distracted from my direction, but are you a son of God? Do you know what it means to be a part of the family of God? It is the will of God for every lost individual in the world to be in the family of God. But God is not going to save them if they are not willing to exercise their own volition, amen, to come to Jesus. But here's what he said in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And as we begin to progress through these verses, he says in verse 13, he said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We preached about the will of God. Amen. It's not your family. It makes no difference who your dad is. He can be a great man. Your mother could be a godly woman. And there's godly women in this building. And there's good and godly men in this building that have children that are lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. And it's not through the blood that runs through your veins. It's not of blood. It's not of your lineage. It's not about your family. It's not about your flesh. Amen. You can't do good enough to be saved. Amen. The will of the flesh is not going to put you in the family of God. You can't live holy enough. You can't live godly enough. You can't pray enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't confess your sin enough to be saved. Amen. It's not the will of the flesh in verse 13. Neither is, amen, it have, neither is it through friends or through the will of man, the people that's around you, and those that you may like, those that you may want to be around. You may like to hang around saved people. I don't really understand that, why lost people want to be around saved people, but I guess that's a possibility. But the people you're around can't save you, amen. And so it's not friends, it's not the will of man. But salvation is of God. It is the will of God, amen. The only way you're going to be saved is you understand that it's the will of God to save a man and submit yourself unto him. But then we begin to close out this last verse, this last memory verse, and here's how we outlined it. We talked about the Word of God. We talked about the witness of God. We talked about the will of God. But then I want us to notice the way of God. And I find that in verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. Notice this last phrase, which taketh away. Amen. Which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, about 6 weeks or so before the baptism of Jesus, right after that baptism of Jesus, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know that story. And then after that's over with, we find him coming back. He's recuperated from 40 days of fasting. Angels have ministered unto him. And the next day after that, John unveils him to the nation of Israel. And we meet him for the first time bodily in the book of John here in this verse. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now John had been questioned concerning who he was. They said, hey, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're looking for, John? You're baptizing, men are repenting, and you're preaching with power and with authority. Are you that one we're looking for? But John refused to identify himself as anything more than a voice. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unlatch his shoes. He is preferred before me. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so the formal presentation of Jesus to the nation, it was while the Passover feast, the Passover feast was approaching. And so if you can kind of get in your mind what's going on here in this text of scripture, Jesus is coming and he walking down among the crowd of people that are making their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. No doubt there's sheep and lambs everywhere as they're driving them into the city to make preparations to slay those lambs and to apply that blood and to make ready for those sacrifices. And so in the background, you can hear the bleating of the sheep, the movement of the people, and the movement of those little animals as they're coming down the streets of Jerusalem. And blood is about to be shed to atone for the sin of the nation of Israel, only to cover it up for one more year. And John, when he saw Jesus, he could have said, behold, the Son of God. That's manifest in the flesh. He could have said, behold, the King of God that was born in Bethlehem's manger. He could have said, behold, the Christ of God that has fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He could have said, behold, the Messiah of God, the Messiah of Israel that has come to deliver us from the bondage of Rome and the authorities of the world. He could have said, behold, the Word of God that has brought everything that we know into existence before us. But he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. I'm telling you, when John, the gospel writer, not John the Baptist, saw him in the vision in the book of Revelation, they told him when he was weeping because no one was found worthy to open up the book and to loose the seals thereof. The elders said, weep not, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John's eyes began to look throughout heaven and began to search for a lion. But when he saw the Son of God, Jesus the Redeemer, he said he saw the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm telling you tonight, that's what John saw in John 1:29. He could have called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He could have said, Israel, the Son of God is come. He could have said, Israel, the King of the world is manifesting himself upon the earth. But he said, behold, ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Finally, the Old Testament question that was asked thousands of years ago, where is the Lamb? That's what Isaac said. Well, we have the wood and we have the fire, Dad. But where is the Lamb? And finally, after all those years, the answer to that question, amen, is brought to the ears of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. And the fulfillment of the prophecies of ages of the past is seen here in this verse where Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. And I'm telling you, we preach about the ram in the thicket and thank God for it, but that was not the lamb, amen, that God would provide for the sins of the world. But he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Can I say something to you this morning that when I think of this verse, I think of the season of it. Kind of confusing to some degree. John didn't know him, being his cousin. I'm sure that John maybe has not seen him for a while. He's been out in the wilderness with God. But I'm confident that Mary and Elizabeth and their conversation, surely they had communicated their experience to their children. But yet John says, this verse 31 says, I knew him not. I want to say, when I look at this verse, I see something seasonal. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming. Amen. And I've preached this to the young people, and I'll not belabor the point. But understanding and seeing the Lamb of God is something seasonal. Yes, sir. Jesus said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. John didn't see him. He saw him when he baptized him. The dove came down on him. And John, I'm sure, being his cousin, probably had played with him. Surely to goodness they had got together at the Passover. Surely at some of the feasts of Israel, their families had sat down and had a meal together, and the kids had played out back. Surely John had been with him and seen him. But he never seen him like this until this verse. And I don't know about you, but I remember the day that I saw Jesus like I never had seen him before. Amen. I'd seen him as a historical figure. Amen. I'd seen him as a historical figure that men had preached about. He died on a cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world. But in my mind, I just remembered it as a story. And I just remembered it as a man preaching about a man that died for the sins of others. But I'm going to tell you something. I remember the day that my eyes were open. I remember the day, the next day, amen. There were plenty of days prior. There were plenty of days before this day that I saw Jesus like I never saw him before. I saw him, amen, as the resurrected Lord up from the grave. He did arise. I'd heard about it, but I never saw it like I saw it that day. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. I'd sang that song. Oh, but I'm telling you, that day I saw him like I never had saw him in the past. I saw his love, and I saw his mercy, and I saw his grace, and I saw his long suffering, and I saw his reach into my soul like I have never seen it before. Has that ever happened to you? Has that season ever came to pass in your life? There was something seasonal about it. There was a day when Jesus passed by. Brother Farmer was testifying about getting saved when he was a young man, and the times that God had dealt with his heart when he was 6 years old. You remember him telling it the other night under the tabernacle, sitting in that vehicle, pretending that he was playing, that he was driving as a six-year-old man, and the Lord, a young boy, and the Lord dealt with his heart, and how all those years passed, and God dealt with him again when he was 11 years old. And I remember the days when God had dealt with my heart about my soul as a young man. I remember being afraid at times of going to bed at night because of judgment and because of hell and because of what was awaiting me. Oh, but the day I got beyond judgment
and I got beyond fear, and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, it's something seasonal. I'm telling you, there's days I played, there's days I went to bed and nothing bothered me at all. There's days, Brother Farmer, you probably played driving a car and God never touched your heart. God never dealt with your soul. But I'm telling you, this day, I'm telling you, John saw him this day like he never had saw him before.
Something seasonal, something seen. Amen. Something serious here. John's preaching. I don't know if he's preaching about repentance. He's preaching to the people of God about sin. He's telling them that they're living wicked. He's letting them know that they're ungodly. He confronts the religious world of that particular day and he says, bring forth meats. Amen. For repentance, he said, just don't tell me you're turning from your sin. I want to see some results of your repentance. I want to see that you mean business with God. But I'm telling you, John changed everything he was preaching about, and he stopped everything he was doing when Jesus came walking through that great crowd. And I can envision in my mind a big crowd of people during that period of day and under that culture, and all those lambs walking around and the bleeding of all of those sheep ringing out in the ears of the people, and an old Baptist preacher standing up in the midst of that crowd and lifting his voice up like a trumpet that would thunder over the bleeding of the sheep and the bustle of the crowd, and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, all these lambs you brought with you, they're not going to take your sin away. All they're going to do is cover them up for a period of time and appease a God that is full of wrath because of sin. But this man can take the sin that condemns you away. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Something serious. Amen. Something serious, gentlemen, about seeing Jesus as the Lamb of God, the only hope. I've talked to people about the Lord. I've talked to people about God. And they would tell me, you know, about what they're trying to do. Well, preacher, if somebody needs any help, I'll help them. And, you know, they'd say, well, preacher, if I know I've done something wrong, I try to make it right. I try to make it right. Try to make it right. But they never have saw the seriousness of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's nothing you can say or do that can take away your sin. But trust and faith in Jesus' blood that was shed at Calvary. Amen. Somebody say that I see something seasonal in this text. I see something seen. I see something said. I see something that's very serious. In other words, all of their religion is all around them. Can you envision that? Their entire religion is all around them. It's the feast of the Passover, soon to come. There's sheep and lambs everywhere. They're walking around, and all of their religion is gathered around them. They're fixing to have some satisfaction in their heart. They're fixing to have some peace in their heart for a little while longer. That'll give them a little better means of sleeping at night, because they know they fulfill the law and the demands and the command of God. But I'm telling you, John said that this is very serious. That the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer cannot take away sin. It cannot take your sin away. Then I see something sensed. John in verse 31 said he knew him not, but in verse 29 he recognizes him as the Lamb of God. Have you ever saw him as the Lamb of God? Behold, the Lamb of God. The theme, young people, that I'm dealing with on the power to become the sons of God, rest in the way of God, the way that happens. The way that happens is through the work, the provision, the person of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Something is sensed. I'm telling you, we live in a spiritually dead world. I sat on the platform while Brother Farmer was preaching, and I looked across the faces of young people who, to be at that tournament, had memorized the first four, five, six chapters of the book of John. They've memorized enough scripture that if all of the Bible was completely taken away from us, just the verses that they memorize is enough for the world to hear them say and preach and get saved. Amen, without doubt. But yet I look upon ashen faces. Devotion on Friday, I talked about take hold of thee. From Isaiah 64, I talked about having a walk with God, having an experience with Jesus, having a walk with God. Do you walk with God? Do you have a communing life with the Lord Jesus? And I look across empty faces as if they don't know what I'm talking about. I look across this congregation and I talk about having a spiritual life, having a life that is godly, having a life that is holy, having a life that revolves around not games and play and things of the flesh all the time, but a life that revolves around walking with God and being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I look across a congregation of people that seems to have no sense of a spiritual life even existing. Something has to be sensed. That word behold means truly. It carries a lot of weight. It's more than just take a look. When John said, behold the Lamb of God, he's saying, stop what you're doing. Get your eyes off your lambs. Get your eyes off your religion. Get your eyes off of your mom and dad. Get your eyes off the world around you that is bringing you pleasure. And put your eyes on the Lamb of God, the only one that can take away the sin of the world. I see something sacrificed. I don't have time to elaborate on a message on the cross, but the Lamb of God, when John referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, he is referring to him as the one that would die in their stead and shed his blood to take their sin away. He would lay his life down for the sin of the world. You ever experienced that sacrifice in your life? A sacrifice that has brought peace and contentment to your soul. When ye have yielded your life to Christ and by faith put your trust in the Word of God, the finished work of Jesus. Let me just say this. People talk about the cross. We preach about the cross. We preach about Jesus dying in our stead. But I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to what I'm saying to you this morning. when you consider the cross and you survey the cross and the work that was accomplished at Calvary, the only way you can understand the cross, the only way that you have a knowledge of the cross, the only way that you can accept the reality and the redemption of what Jesus made as a provision on the cross of Calvary is to accept the reality of God's word. You got to, and that sounds simple, but you got to trust God's word. Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I really am struggling. I feel. Whatever happened to faith? Amen. You got to have faith. Thank God for a feeling. I'm glad that I feel the touch of God in my soul while I'm preaching right now. I'm thankful, amen, that God touched my heart while the choir was singing and I could stand and raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I stand amazed at your love. I stand amazed at your goodness to me. Bless your holy name, and I can worship God and be thankful because that is the will of God, whether I feel like it or not. But I'm glad, thank God, when that feeling is in my heart and I recognize and I acknowledge, amen, the fact that Jesus has saved my soul. Amen. But when I can't muster up any feeling, I have faith in this book. And I trust it. And when I trust this book, God is honored with my faith. When I worship Him in the midst of doubts and despairs, when I worship and magnify God, when I'm carrying burdens that weigh more than I feel like I can carry through the day, I can say, God has blessed, God has been good, God has supplied. So when I see this way of God, this power to become the Son of God, when I consider this verse, behold, the Lamb of God, I see several things. I see something seasonal. John didn't see him until this day as the Lamb of God. I'm asking you a question. Have you ever saw him as the Lamb of God? Oh, you may have seen him as Bethlehem's babe. You may even have seen him as the king. You may have got a pretty good view of him as Christ. But have you ever seen him as the Lamb of God? And then I see something with a solution. Taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. What was fixing to happen that Passover was not what the nation of Israel needed. Now, it was what God had commanded them to fulfill and practice for all these years, but it was not what they needed. They needed their sin taken away. That's the solution. Taken away. We talk about sins being cast in the sea. We talk about sins being put behind God's back. We talk about sins being as far as the east is to the west. And all that finds its illustration and content in the Old Testament. But what we need, John, is we need sins taken away. Taken away, Brother Randy. God can take them away. Jesus can take it away. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The entire world. This Lamb of God can take away the sin of the world. Has He ever taken away your sin? I'm talking about taking it away. I'm not being disrespectful, and I'm not splitting doctrinal hairs with you. But the king born in Bethlehem's manger could not take away the sin of the world. God manifest in the flesh, the great mystery of the incarnation, could not take away the sin of the world. The Messiah that would fulfill every prophecy of the Old Testament in behalf of Israel could not take away the sin of the world. Christ, the very one that they looked for, that would deliver them from the bondage that they were in, Jesus, the Savior, like a Joshua, that could lead them back into Canaan's land with liberty and victory and possess lands and houses and be back, amen, in a life of liberty, could not take away the sin of the world. Because all those people could have existed and never had died on a cross. But the Lamb of God. When we see Him as the Lamb of God, yes, He is the King in Bethlehem's manger. Yes, He is the Son of God, the incarnate God manifest in the flesh. Yes, He is the Messiah of Israel. Yes, He is the Christ of Israel. Yes, He is the promised one. Yes, but He would come to lay His life down. He would come, as Isaiah 53 said, it would please His Father to bruise Him. When He hath laid His soul on the altar of God, He would lay His soul there for the sins of the world. Amen. And He would do so to take your sin away. I don't have any fancy stories to tell you. I don't have any illustrations that would open up your mind to some truth. All I have is a statement to make to you that can answer all of your sin problems this morning and can settle the question of whether or not you are in the family of God, a son of God. And that is the same thing that John told the nation of Israel as they're gathering in Jerusalem. The crowd is big. The activities are moving. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Have you ever met Jesus as the Lamb of God?